Hello, and welcome to the Sparkle Hour, a fun and feisty podcast for empowered women and woke menfolk.
Join us as we pull back the veil to reveal how we are taking control of our life stories and creating a movement of positive change.
I'm Michelle Lewis.
And I'm Nicole Lewis-Kieber.
And if you're ready to feel, laugh, and heal, this podcast is for you. Yay! Good morning! Oh my gosh, what a crazy, beautiful Monday morning this is. Nicole, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited.
I am too. We have a special guest today.
We do. We have Carolyn Elliott, and I'm so excited to have her here. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey.
Hi.
How?
Oh my gosh. So beautiful.
I know. Everybody's so gorgeous today. So I'm personally super excited to have Carolyn because I've been following her for a while. So I just wanted to jump in and read her bio. Can I go ahead and start?
Oh yeah, girl, get it.
Yay. Okay. All right. So Dr. Carolyn Elliott founded Witch Magazine to give voice and prominence to the subtle witching in the world that's not confined to tradition and convention. Mm. She's the teacher of Influence, the life-altering course on mastering practical magic, which I've taken. She runs a multiple six-figure online business specializing in helping people achieve dramatic positive change in their lives through shadow integration practices and applied occult philosophy.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I know. Carolyn is the author of the cult favorite creativity book, Awaken Your Genius, which is based on the dissertation she wrote while getting her PhD in critical and cultural studies at the University of Pittsburgh. Hey, up in here in Pennsylvania.
Hey.
And her new book, Existential Kink, will come out in the summer of 2019. And I can't even. I'm so excited about that.
Yes.
So oh welcome, gosh. Carolyn. Yay.
Yay. Thank you for having me, ladies.
We are so excited to have you here. I just wanted to give a little bit of background on how you came into my orbit and how much I've enjoyed following you since then. I believe maybe I heard about you from the Being Boss podcast. I think this has been a while. Yeah. Where Kathleen and Emily interviewed you. Mm-hmm. And they were mentioning at this point an article that you had written a while back. And there was a sentence in this article that just threw me down on the floor. It was a having is evidence of wanting.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. No. What do you mean? Right. And so this whole article, it was a beautiful piece of art anyway. I mean, we'll find it and share it, but it completely changed and shifted my perspective on my life, my business, you know, the way things are in my world on a day-to-day basis. And I'll admit, and at first I was annoyed by it, but then I moved into clarity and ended up joining one of your cohorts on the Influence course with a friend of mine. So been following you since then, and I just absolutely love how shadow work is powerful rather than what a lot of people think about it. So would you give us a little bit of background on you, kind of how you found yourself here and how this work has evolved?
Sure. So, you know, I started out my adult life thinking that I was going to be an academic. I had visions of myself being a professor at Columbia University teaching Walt Whitman poetry. Mm-hmm. Just did not turn out that way because I found out that I, you know, a lot more than I care about analyzing poetry, I care about having a poetic life and helping others to have poetic, beautiful lives. Through a series of events, well, I finished my PhD at the University of Pittsburgh, and then not only did I not want to work in academia anymore, but actually I had made myself unhirable by a series of things that I did.
Oh my God, I want to hear more about that. We'll circle back.
It mostly just involved teaching classes that were really far out on the hippie, spiritual, magical end of the spectrum. And anyways, so I sort of I'll slow myself down. I'm so excited too. There was a period where I was kind of floundering. I was like working as a freelance resume writer, making, you know, pennies, and it was very painful. And I was sort of still debating about how to present myself to the world and whether I should try to fit into a normal job. But all I wanted to do was write about magic. That's all I wanted to think about. And I found that I had to make a decision to commit myself. You know, it's, you can't really present yourself to corporations with resumes when they can easily do a Google search for you and find all the weird witchy shit you've written. So, and I actually found out on a few occasions that I had been rejected for copywriting jobs because people didn't like my weirdo-ness. And so I got to this point where I was like, well, fuck it. I'm a weirdo and I'm just going to go full in on this. So I, you know, threw myself into learning how to be a coach. I threw myself into really studying and discovering and experimenting with processes of magic, mostly based in hermetic magic, which is alchemy, which is astrology, which is sort of like the ancient Greek Egyptian tradition. Yeah, and eventually I ended up teaching this course called Influence, which is dear to my heart, which is basically, it's a life-altering course on mastering practical magic. So I teach that, and right now I'm also teaching another course called Force of Nature, which is a lot about shadow work and existential kink, they both are. And Force of Nature is all about taking what I teach in Influence to another level, although Influence isn't a prerequisite for it. But, okay, I'm going to stop rambling now. Is there anything else I should be telling your audience?
Oh, my goodness. You're definitely not rambling. You're just like, it is so delicious and exciting. And I have to ask you, when did you realize, like, that the whole witchy world was part of your DNA?
Oh, it was a slow realization. I grew up in it. My father, I like to say about my father that he never met a cult he didn't like.
Oh.
Which is absolutely true. He, when he was in San Francisco in the 1960s, he hung out with absolutely everybody. He almost went to Jonestown, except he found out they wouldn't let him eat peanut butter and chocolate ice cream. And so he didn't go to Jonestown.
Oh, thank goodness.
He was, yes, there's a whole bunch of Forrest Gump style stories about my father and his spiritual adventures. And he eventually wound up in Pittsburgh, married to my mother, Linda, who's a nice Catholic girl. And I grew up, I would go to Catholic Mass and CCD in the morning on Sundays. And then my father would take me to the Rosicrucian Lodge, to the Druid meetings, the Wiccan meetings, the tarot card readers, the astrologers, the Gnostics, the Buddhists, the Hindus, just everything. So I got this very kind of far out exposure to a number of different mystical and magical ideas. And I actually, when I was in my early 20s, I was like, that's all dorky, dumb stuff that my father is into. And I'm going to put this in a box over here. Mm-hmm. And I am going to be a responsible, productive member of society who goes to Protestant churches. And that's what I'm going to do. So I tried that for a few years. And I just ended up realizing that I couldn't shake my profoundly heretical beliefs. Like, I'm actually a huge Jesus fan. I think of him as Queer Witch Jesus. And I think I just like, I talk to Jesus all day long. He's just one of my favorite magicians. But all of my ideas about him are, you know, completely contrary to conventional ideas about that. And all of those ideas, you know, I picked up as a youngster and I can't shake them. So anyways, I sort of, you know, and then I was in academia, which is also, you know, you would think if you were studying, I mean, my degree is in critical and cultural studies, but it was in an English department for literature and, and poetry. And I guess I had this naive idea when I went into it that like, oh, well, this is about literature and poetry. It's about beauty. It's about the elevation of the soul. Mm. No, that is not what it's about. You know, it's about arguing and proving that you're smarter than everybody and having, and I just couldn't hang with it. At one point I actually got this eye injury where it was kind of my own silly fault. I left my contact lenses in too long and I scratched my cornea. And the thing was, is that it hurt so bad. It was just like any light that touched my eye would like searing pain. And I had to wear a pirate eye patch. And this went on for like a year. And I went to, you know, Pittsburgh has this famous medical center called UPMC. And they had the finest cornea specialists in the world. And I would go to them and I would say, you know, what can you do for me? And they'd be like, well, we could take your eye out and that would stop. You know, and I was just like, what are you talking about? And I was in this very distraught period because I could only stand to read like for maybe about an hour a day because my, you know, my one eye couldn't work and then my other eye was strained. And I was depressed because I was wearing this pirate patch and in pain all the time. And I found that I had no patience at all anymore for all of the, you know, criticism and postmodern masturbation bullshit that I was reading. And I only wanted to read, you know, uplifting, occult, inspiring things. My favorite was, and one of my favorites still is, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was very mystical guy. And I just had this realization that I didn't want to be somebody who wrote about Emerson and Walt Whitman. I wanted to be like Emerson and Walt Whitman. You know, Emerson was one of the first self-help teachers in America. He would go around to different community centers and speak, and people would come to see him, and that was how he made his living. And eventually it occurred to me, you know, I wanted to do that. And at the time I was going to a metaphysical Christian church called the Unity Church, which is actually one of the only groups of Christians that will put up with my hereticism. And they were being so sweet to me and so helpful, and they would have Reiki circles for my eye. And the Unity people are very into positive visualization and affirming healing and stuff like that. They're great. And they would just affirm with me and visualize with me that I was healed. And one day I was talking to my mother and I was like bemoaning my fate. And she was like, why don't you just go see your Aunt Rosie's eye doctor? And I was like, what's my Aunt Rosie's eye doctor going to do for me that the foremost cornea specialists in the world can't do for me, Mom? She was like, just go see him. And so I went, and this little old man in this dusty little office took one look at my eye, and he was like, oh, yeah, you need these drops. And he gave me these drops. They were just like anti-inflammatory drops. And in like 3 days, my eye was completely better. It was completely healed.
Magic.
Yeah. It was very magic. And I learned a deep lesson from that, which was that, you know, if you keep holding that healing image in mind and you are willing to follow synchronicities, they can lead you to healing in very unexpected ways. And of course, it wasn't like the hand of God descended and healed my eye, but it was just like a very unexpected little detour. So that was beautiful. And I think that was when I first started to think, maybe there really is something to all of this stuff that I have this, you know, attraction to. So I eventually, oh boy, the chronology gets all screwy in my mind. You know, everything's like nonlinear. But I eventually wound up in an organization called One Taste, which is very interesting on a number of levels. They teach a wonderful practice called orgasmic meditation.
Yay.
They also are, I'm not completely cool with them on a number of levels from some things that I've seen in their organization, but bless them. They taught me a whole ton. I cannot deny that. I learned a lot. And orgasmic meditation is basically like a simplified tantra. So if you look at Tibetan or Buddhist tantra, it's very, very complicated, involves tons of visualization of deities and things like that. But orgasmic meditation is this brilliant practice. And there's, you know, the founder has a TED talk on it. So anybody can look it up who wants to. It's called Orgasm, the Missing Nutrient in the Western Woman by Nicole Didone. And I got involved with this and I started doing this practice. And I guess I was in the organization for about 2.5 or 3 years. And they had an understanding of what it meant to be a witch that was totally different than, by the way, they don't talk about this on their website or in any of their PR materials. This is stuff you only hear about when you've been hanging out with them for a while. They, you know, in my mind, it was this, like I said, kind of somewhat dorky thing involving velvet outfits and maypoles and Renaissance fair pretend that I was trying to distance myself from because I was trying to be this hip, savvy person. But the One Taste folks really brought to my attention that witching isn't something that you necessarily have to get dressed up for and burn particular incense for or do hokey rhyming invocations. You know, that's cool if you want to, but if you don't, you don't have to because it's inside you. It's your own electricity. It's your own sexual energy. It's your own deep shadow, unconscious desires and your own, you know, your own intentions ultimately united. And I guess we could talk about that in a minute. But what they used to do, they used to tease me relentlessly because they would say, you know, Carolyn, you have so much magical power that you're not in approval of. And I would be like, what are you talking about? And there were just all these incidents is that they would point out to me that whenever I didn't want to do something, like let's say we had a group meeting and I didn't want to go, the meeting space would flood. Or the person who was supposed to be leading it, their tire would bust. And they would be like, Carolyn, you witched it. And I'd be like, guys, you really, this is ridiculous. You can't blame this on me. But they were like, have you ever noticed that you always get what you want? And they asked me this, and actually a few people asked me this over the years. And at first when I would hear this, I would be like, what are you talking about? I'm a miserable person. I don't get what I want tons of the time. I didn't get to be a professor at Columbia. I didn't da-da-da-da-da, all these things. Mm-hmm. But then one day I started to take this really seriously and be like, you know what? Everything that I really want, I do get, even if it's the cancellation of meetings that I don't want to go to. And I started to realize that they were kind of on to something about this whole witching it thing. And I thought to myself, well, wow, if I had, you know, conscious, intentional power to guide this, then I could really start popping and I could stop living in poverty and feeling sorry for myself all the time. And mm-hmm. you know, maybe get a change of scenery around here. So I got really, really curious about what it would take to elevate this unconscious power into conscious direction, which is, of course, the whole project of magic itself, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without. When you can change the within, you can change the without. And one of the basic principles I discovered in my researches in ancient Greek magic, which I've always been drawn to Greek mythology and things like that, the Greek practical magicians were called thaumaturgists. And the thaumaturgists used to say that the prerequisite to practical magic was having a united will. Most of us human beings have divided wills. You know, you can see this in New Year's resolutions. We say we're going to wake up at 5 and drink kale smoothies every day, but we don't fucking do that. You know, at least I don't. I eat cookies and watch Netflix. But it's like, so basically a lot of people think that magic doesn't work because maybe when they were a teenager, they got a Wicca book and they did a love spell on a guy they liked and the guy asked out Susie instead of them. So it didn't really work, right? Okay. Well, so I had to answer that question for myself. What about when spells don't work? Even if you have the perfect incense, candles, hokey rhyming incantations, everything. And I found out through studying this ancient Greek stuff that there's a reason it doesn't work, which is that the gods are very generous, the universe is very generous, however you want to put it, but our willingness to receive is quite limited. And that's what they meant by a divided will. If I do not have the willingness to really receive the joy of health and kale smoothies and everything like that, then I will not go get them. And I realized that through doing a lot of inquiry, I love the Byron Katie process of inquiry, which anybody can find on her website, work.com. I've done that for years. And one day while doing it, I was questioning this belief that I had about my coaching practice at the time, which was, you know, I believed that people should be excited to pay me a lot of money. And I was questioning this and I was like, there's a process in the Byron Katie work where you do turnaround. So you take the initial judgment, you turn around different ways, and then you try to see how that turnaround is equally as true as your initial judgment. So I turned that around to people should never, ever want to pay me a lot of money. And when I read that to myself, I was like, I could feel these like hot tingles in my body. And I actually felt aroused. And I was like, what is this about? And I realized that I actually had this kinky, fucked up desire to be rejected, put down, to have to struggle to pay my rent each month, that I loved it. My clit just was the biggest fan of that. And, you know, I was like, well, wow, this is really fucked up. But, you know, apparently it's a desire within me. And I do have this belief that everything within us deserves love and permission and honor. So I was like, I'm just going to honor this because it's a part of me, even though I don't understand it. And so I gave that pleasure that I had in scarcity big permission and really got off on it and felt all those sensations and enjoyed them. And the next time I looked at my pitifully low bank account, I was like, yeah, that's hot. And I started to feel like this fulfilled, powerful person instead of this, you know, pathetic loser who couldn't get what she wanted. I was seeing quite clearly that I was getting exactly what I wanted, which was poverty. And it was like, whoa, hot damn. that's something. And so my whole energy changed, my whole outlook changed in regards to my financial life. And I had all these creative ideas come to me and these doors opened, you know, just like that beautiful Joseph Campbell saying, when you follow your bliss, doors will open where there were no doors. I just had to realize that my bliss is fucked up and just, you know, go with it. So I did. And it's, life has been getting ever more lovely since, as I've been working on applying these principles to my romantic life, to my health life, to my intuition and creativity, and basically everything. Whew, I've been talking for a while. Zip! Ask me some questions or say some stuff, ladies.
So I am fascinated, and I don't feel like you've talked for more than 2 seconds.
Okay.
Like, honestly, when you're speaking and you're letting all this truth just come flowing through, it's like time stops and it's not linear anymore. Mm. You know, it's really incredibly beautiful. And just like the truths are just popping off. Boom, 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 you know, and I'm here furiously trying to write notes. And then I just like put the pen down, Michelle, and just absorb, just absorb, because it's magic happening right in front of you.
Aww,
literally. Yeah. And I wish you could see my face right now, because it's like, girl.
She gives the best face on interviews. So I am so sad.
Do another one so I can see the face.
Oh, fantastic. But it's so fascinating, especially as you're talking about this realization of, you know, you getting what you want and it being something that you're not supposed to want. Poverty. You're not supposed to want this shitty stuff. Mm-hmm. But we do. And I think that that's really kind of an amazing lead in to shadow work.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
That side of ourselves that we just want to box away, call it names, and, you know, sit it in the corner and try to ignore it. But you know what? It's not going to just sit in the corner being ignored, is it?
No.
Oh, ma'am. I would love for you to tell us some more about that, because this is something that's really fascinating. It's incredibly powerful. It's as equally powerful as our light side and our brightness, right? But I feel like our audience could really be benefited to hear a little bit more about what shadow work is, not be afraid of it, and what are some steps that they could maybe take?
Oh, yes. So sure. So first off, I had heard this term shadow integration or shadow work, you know, when I was a teenager, and it resonated with me then, and I really looked for information about it. And I'm just going to say this, most of the books out there about it, they just kind of suck. And Carl Jung himself, who I greatly revere, hugely admire, and I'll share some quotes from him with you in just a moment. His work on it is brilliant, but his main way of going about it was through paying attention to dreams, which I obviously still believe is really important, but his own shadow integration process and his process with his clients could take 30 years. And so I would be like, I don't have that kind of time. Right now.
Talk about today.
Talk about today. Yeah, exactly. So it was sort of in combination with all of these other teachings that I was blessed to receive from the orgasmic meditation movement, from all of the reading that I had done during my PhD, all of these thinkers like Emerson and Nietzsche and Heidegger and on, Kierkegaard.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, mixed in with all this ancient Greek stuff. And then I revisited Jung and I reread, and he said things like, you know, the shadow is made up of all of the desires that we don't approve of having. I don't think that's an exact quote, but it's something like that. It's like our shadow is just all of the desires that we wish that we didn't have. So we tuck them away, you know, we're in denial about them. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And this is an exact quote where she says, let's see, if you don't make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. And of course, Jung said that the shadow is just one of the archetypes in the unconscious, but the unconscious, I mean, it's unconscious. It's the part of us that we don't see, that we're not aware of. So in a way, the whole thing is shadowy. Mm-hmm. And he also, oh shoot, why am I not remembering this right now? Anyways, I'm sure it'll pop into my head, some other great stuff that he said that really fired my imagination. And so when I was rereading that, I was like, oh, well, this connects to that experience I had of feeling actual pleasure in my scarcity and rejection and all of this. And I realized, I kind of put two and two together, and I saw that I had, you know, stumbled upon a really rapid form of shadow integration. Because when you use this principle of having as evidence of wanting, which is just sort of, you know, it's not a hard dogma, it's more of an excavation idea. Mm-hmm. So if I am willing to look at my life with this attitude of having as evidence of wanting, it's sort of like, you know, your result is the evidence of your intention. So you can look at your life and you can be like, oh, I didn't intend for that to happen. I didn't intend for the meeting to be canceled. But what was the result? What is consistently the result that's appearing here? Mm. I don't intend for these potential clients to reject me, but they keep rejecting me. Maybe there's some part of me that, you know, likes or enjoys or is invested in or is familiar and comfortable with this experience of rejection. And so I found that rather than just looking at your dreams, which can be a long process of deciphering, you can just look at your life with this kind of reflective lens and see your life is a perfect mirror of your unconscious. Mm-hmm. It's basically what I discovered.
Yeah.
And which accords with all of that hermetic stuff about as within, so without. So this kind of was a really deep revelation for me that I'm, you know, happy to talk about today. It's my favorite thing to talk about because I love it so much, because once you really get it and you become willing to apply it and look at things this way, it just opens up these whole vast vistas of transformation that become possible. I like to say that, you know, loving yourself, doing this kind of shadow work, involves liking that you like what you like. And some days I don't like anyone. I don't like my life. I don't like anything. And then I'm like, then I remember, oh, I can like that I don't like this. And then it's like, then I'm liking, you know, then I'm in this liking mood. And then my energy becomes, you know, this energy of enjoyment, which is a really potent position to be in terms of your level of consciousness, the kinds of interactions you can have, the sorts of synchronicities that occur. Because then, you know, synchronicity, people tend to use that term as if it means like these rare, these rare special events that happen every once in a while. But Jung was quite clear that synchronicity is perpetual. There is a perpetual, perfect synchronicity between your inner condition and the events, the symbols, the relationships, the conversations that you have in your life.
Right.
So when you cultivate this inner position of being willing to enjoy the ugly and the beautiful, you come into this synchronous experience that is lit up. And, you know, my favorite thing in the world is reminding myself how to get there and reminding other people how to get there.
Yeah, it's like this congruence takes place. You know, your energy's not in battle with itself. You know, you're not in this light and dark battle with yourself and everything around you. And so when you are able to, you know, really accept this other side of yourself, this other energy, this darkness, this absolute opposite of everything that we're told that we're supposed to want and be going after, and let them live side by side harmoniously, then you're moving forward, right? You're not, you know, stuck in pause. You're not constantly taking steps backwards and then steps forwards. You just move together as one.
Beautifully said. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what's so amazing to watch is when this, and I know it sounds, for someone who's just hearing for this for the first time, it may be a little confusing, but when you can break it down and just say, what's going on right now, and just be curious about, where's my part? What did I intend? How am I invested in what's happening in my life right now? Even if it's things that I don't think I want, you know, that can be so helpful and powerful when you pick that up and put it down on, like you said earlier, clients, like your business or your health. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that you can do with this. And there are things that I've seen this work through being in one of your influence courses, is how it impacts people from a standpoint of forgiveness, mm-hmm. and how it impacts business, you know, how they begin to empower themselves to work with and who and how they want from all standpoints. And so it's beautiful what happens when you can really apply this principle and this understanding to the other parts of your life besides because I would never have thought, you know, anyone who knows me would not have assumed that I would be taking a course on magic every day. You know, they'd be like, what? And I'm like, no, it makes complete sense. Totally does. After I got mad at her for that article, that it made complete sense. So it really doesn't. What happens, the result is so empowering and beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Nicole, if you have any stories that you want to share about your own experiences with that, I would love to hear them.
Oh my gosh, see, that might, we might have to record again.
I would love to have that back for sure.
Yeah, I love it. You know, really, it just, for me in particular, it boiled down to the understanding that we are a holistic being, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and that all those parts are important and deserve an honor space. And so that changed a lot for me in my life and business too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah. What about you, Michelle? I can feel questions burning from you. Even though I can't see your face.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm so blown away. I feel so like supremely blessed to have this conversation this morning. And part of me is trying to figure out, well, how did you make your camera not work? Uber. But I mean, honestly, I'm so incredibly just vibing on this whole conversation. It's magic in the most beautiful possible way. You know, since I was a child, I have felt like the call to magic, and I've been fascinated by the occult and all of that. And even like growing up, going to, you know, my little Baptist Sunday school and all of that, you know, not through my parents, but through my bestie and her family. And you know, just having this balance, it wasn't even a balance. It was a battle. It was a battle between, you know, well, I want to explore this because it's not about spells and all of that. It's connecting with all of nature, with all of creation, and feeling your part in that rather than, you know, stepping into this kind of, you know, step-by-step rote process of trying to be a perfect person and be a good person and, you know, do all the right things and stay only following, you know, the rules. But you know, fuck the rules, because whose rules are these anyway? Like, they're not my rules. They go against nature. They go against, you know, our very deepest desires. They go against everything that we're created and the way that we exist, and we're told, no, those are wrong. That does not make sense. That doesn't make sense.
It totally doesn't make sense unless you're trying to control the population. Then it makes perfect sense.
Oh, sad but true. And then that just pisses me off. So.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, here as a grown-up, as a grown-ass woman, knowing that I can explore everything that's a curiosity to me, that I can take, I know we just have a few more minutes left, knowing that I can take a look at everything inside of me, even the things that, you know, have once been relegated to a place of shame or a place of, you know, I'm not allowed to look at that. I'm not allowed to explore this in myself or in this world. Being able to say, well, yes, actually I can, and it's fine. And nobody's going to get hurt by it. Certainly not me. It's going to be okay to actually look at this part of myself, explore her, and be excited that she exists. You know, give her her rightful place in this existence, in this life, and in this vehicle that I'm in right now. And let her just be. It's fine. It's so fine.
So fine.
So, Carolyn, I know that you've probably got some good stuff coming up, and we'd love for you to share that with our audience, which we'll for sure include in our show notes. But do you have any classes or courses or awesome offerings coming soon?
Yes. In May, I will be offering another round of Influence, the life-altering course on mastering practical magic, where we cover the shadow integration stuff along with planetary magic. So things like making talismans, things of that nature. It's very fun. And if people want to be alerted about that, the best way is to subscribe with your email through the forms on badwitch.es, because I promote my courses to my email list primarily, and also like the witch Facebook page. I also mention it there. So there's that In the summer of 2019, I'll have a book out from Wiser called Existential Kink, and I'm told it'll be available for sale at Urban Outfitters and places like that, so that's fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And yeah, those are the two main upcoming things. I also do a course every once in a while on showing other people how to grow their online businesses. It works best for folks who are like coaches, astrologers, tarot card readers, who do sort of Skype consultations with people and want to grow an audience. It's an amazing course called Thrill, and it's helped a lot of people become full-time online entrepreneurs. I'm not exactly sure when I will exactly be offering that one again, but later this year. So again, if folks subscribe to the email list at badwitch.es, they'll find out about that too.
So beautiful. All right. Last question. Is there a good witch and a bad witch?
You know, what's hilarious is I played Glinda in my high school production of The Wizard of Oz.
Of course you did, girl.
You know what? I really don't think that there is. The name bad witch was sort of a play on the term bad bitch. Mm-hmm. You know, it came to me and my friends because we were thinking about how we were such bad witches in the sense that we didn't have the right velvet robes and the right rhyming
incantation. Your pointy hat is not pointy enough.
Exactly.
Your broom sucks, you know, whatever.
It's true. So being bad witches in that sense, and also just, you know, being willing. I could go on and on, but my general approach to magic is kind of chaos magic, which, you know, people can Google that and find out what it is, which is a sort of intuitive, free-flowing form. Yeah, so that's, you know, that's what makes it bad, too.
I love it.
But a witch is a witch is a witch. A witch, to me, the word just means a powerful person. I actually really like, in the Basque language, there's apparently a word called sorganak, which means witch, and it translates literally to someone who makes her own fate.
Yes.
So the way that I think about it is, you know, going back to that Carl Jung quote, unless you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. That a witch is somebody who is willing to make their unconscious conscious, to lead their own fate, to not hide from anything within themselves, but face it directly and dance with it. You know, like there's all these medieval pictures of witches dancing with demons. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the essence. You got to dance with your demons or else you're just going to feel like the world's bulldozing you. So I see people like Oprah, Madonna, you know, those are witches to me. I don't care if they've never gone to a Wiccan event in their lives. Like, Oprah's a witch. She's wonderful.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
That is a mic drop moment if ever I have heard one.
It totally is. And that is so much why I wanted to have you on our show, because, you know, people think, you know, the Sparkle Hour, and it sounds, you know, I love that and the name of our podcast. So I think sometimes people think it's just light and levity, and it's not. We talk about some hard shit on here, but, you know, like you said, it's dancing. We dance with it. We create that opportunity for people to dance with all the parts of themselves and to empower and move beyond, you know, the limitations that have been placed upon them, either internally or externally. And so that is why I love that you gave us that definition. Because that just so resonates with where I, you know, hope that we're moving as a podcast, and having people that we just love so much, like you, on here to teach our people what these concepts are and how they can really begin to embrace them in their life right now. I mean, who can't walk away from this and go, I got this. Where's my part? You know, what do I do here? And can I dance with it and love it and empower myself there? So just thank you so much for that.
It's been a delight.
Thank you. So friends, thank you so much for listening today. You can check our show notes at www.thesparklehour.com. We're going to have all the juicy tidbits that Dr. Carolyn Elliott has dropped here today, sprinkled throughout our podcast. We'll make sure that we can include links to her Facebook page, to her website, to all her goodness. If we can get a link to, so people can join Influence, because that sounds fucking awesome. Pardon my French there. But yeah, so thank you so much for being a part of this today. And a witch is a witch is a witch. So, you know, just, it's okay, y'all. You are absolutely perfectly amazing already, exactly as you are. So free to explore and embrace all of you. And that is all we've got for y'all today. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, sorry, Rambo.
Rambo agrees.
Oh my gosh, we love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. You're welcome back absolutely anytime.
Be sure to check out our Facebook page, The Sparkle Hour, and join our Facebook group, When in Doubt, Sparkle That Shit Out.
Yes. Great. Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Sparkle Hour. Today's episode was brought to you by Nicole Lewis Kieber Coaching
and The Blessings Butterfly. To learn more about the topics discussed today, please visit our website at www.thesparklehour.com. And remember, when in doubt,
sparkle that shit out.
Yes, please.